Zeg eens, God, bij haar meester, die hem over heen gaan, hou je misdagen. And where do they bow down? In the Beit HaMikdash. Have you said earlier in the parak, they bowed down 13 places in the Beit HaMikdash. Where were those 13 places that they bowed down? Arba B'Tzafa. The Arba B'Tzafa. Four places were in the north of the Azara, and four places were in the south of the Azara. Shalat B'Mizra. Ushtayim B'Mariv. Keneged Shloisha Asar Shar. Three of those places were the east of the Azara, two in the west. And those 13 places were opposite the 13 gates that led into the Azara. Shahar and Drimi and Smuch Lamach, the southern gates that were closed to the western side of the Azara, were the following. Shahar Elyon, the westernmost Shahar, was called the upper Shahar, as the Azara was on a slope. And the further west you go, the higher up it is, so therefore, the westernmost Shahar was called the upper Shahar. Shahar Hadas, the next Shahar, was called the Shahar of Fuel, and through that Shahar, that's where they brought the wood that was used on the Mizbeach. Shahar HaBechoros. The next Shahar was called the Shahar of the Bechoros, as they brought the Bechoros into the Azara through that Shahar, and the Bechoros were shafted on the southern side of the Azara. Shahar HaMai. The next Shahar was called the Shahar of Water. But Lama Nikrishmo Shahar HaMai. And why was that Shahar called the Shahar of Water? Shabo Machnisim Tzloiches Shomayim Shal Nisach Becha. And from Sukkot, when they have Nisach HaMai, when they pour water on the Mizbeach, they brought the pitcher of water through that Shahar on the way to bring it to the Mizbeach. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Aimer, Bo'amayim Mefachim, Ba'asidim Li'ezioitim Mitachas Mitzan Abay. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov gives a different reason for the name of that Shahar. He said that the water is going to flow through that Shahar. As La'asid Love in the time of Mashiach, the water will start out flowing from the Kachay Kedushin. And at that point, that it flows out of the Kachay Kedushin will be a very thin stream of water, the size of the horns of a locust. And it will continue flowing out of the Shahar Hamayim. At the point that it flows out of the Shahar HaMayim, it will be a little wider. It will be the size of the neck of a bottle. L'umasa Matafa, Smuch and Lamar, opposite the southern gate. There are also northern gates. And the gates that are closest to the western side of the Azara are the following. Shahar Yechanya, the most western gate on the north part of the Azara, is called the Gate of Yechanya. We'll see soon why it's called Shahar Yechanya. Shahar Korban, the next most western gate is called the Gate of the Korban. And through that gate, they bring in the Kachay Kedushin that are shafted on the northern part of the Azara. Shahar Nashim. The next gate is called the Gate of Women. The reason being is that according to Rabbi Yossi, who holds that a woman who brings a korban could be samech on her korban, she could lean on her korban, the woman would enter that gate to lean on the korbanas that they bring. And according to Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Shimon, that hold that women are not allowed to lean on their korban, the reason why it's called Shahar Nashim is because when a woman brings a korban, she stands right in that gate in order to watch as her korban is brought by the kohanim. Shahar HaShir, the next gate in the northern part of the Azara, is called the Gate of Shir. The reason being is that through that gate, that's where they bring the clay shir, the musical instruments that are played by the Levim in the Beit HaMikdash. The Lama Nikra Shmo Shahar Yechanya, the most western gate on the north part of the Azara, why was that called the Gate of Yechanya? Shabo Yasa Yechanya Begalusa. When Yechanya was taken out to exile, he went through that gate on his way out to exile. As when the Melech wanted to exile Yechanya, he first entered the Beit HaMikdash to bow down and to take Rishus from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then when he exited the Beit HaMikdash, he exited the gate that is called Shahar Yechanya, the Mizrach. One of the gates that are on the east part of the Azara, Shahar Nekena. The first gate in the eastern part of the Azara is called Shahar Nekena. The reason why it's called Shahar Nekena is that somebody named Nekena went to Mitzrayim in order to bring doors for that gate. The gate to the east of the Azara had two small gates that were within the larger gate, one to the right and one to the left. So if you count the two small gates altogether, there were three gates to the east of the Azara. And the last two gates in the Azara were two gates to the west of the Azara, and those two gates did not have a name. How you but make that? There were 13 tables in the Beit HaMikdash. Shmona Shoshayas, the Beit HaMitzbachayim. Eight of those tables were made out of marble, and they were in the slaughterhouse, in the part of the Azara where they slaughtered their korbanot. Shaleim Adichan Et HaKorban. On those tables, that's where they watched the inside of their korbanot. Ushnayim B'Marev HaKevet. And there were two tables to the west of the ramp that led up to the Mizbeach. Echad Shoshayas. One of those tables was made out of marble, while the other table was made out of silver. Also, Shias Hoyanois and the FA bar. The table that was made out of marble, that's where they put the limbs of the korbanos prior to them being put on the Mizbeach. The reason why that table was made out of marble, even though most of everything that was in the base of Mizbeach was made out of silver or gold, however, this table had to be made out of marble so that the limbs that were put on it would not spoil before the Kohanim had a chance to put it on the Mizbeach, as marble is very cool, and that would help preserve the limbs of their korbanos. Also, Kesef clay shards. The table that was made out of silver, that's where they put the clay shards, the kaon that were used in the service of the Beit HaMikdash. Ushnayim ba'ulam mi bifnim al Pesach HaBayit. There were two tables in the ula that was inside the entrance of the bayit. And the ula is after the Azorah, right before the Hechol. And they had two tables right there by the entrance of the ula. Echesh Oshai, the Echesh Ozot. One of those tables was made out of marble, and one of those tables was made out of gold. So Shayat Noisen Lachma Apanet Bikni Sasa, on the table made out of marble. That's where they put the Lachma Apanet on the way to bringing the Lachma Apanet into the Hechel to be placed on the Shulchan. That the Lachma Apanet cannot be baked on Shabbat. So therefore they baked it on Friday. However, they would not put it onto the Shulchan until Shabbat. So in the meantime, they put it on the table made out of marble, and the cool marble will help preserve the Lachma until it is placed on the Shulchan. And after Lachma Panah was taken off the Shulchan, they would place it on the gold table until they had a chance to distribute it to the Kohanim. Shemalim Bekaidit Velo Meridim. The reason why when they took the Lachma Panah off the Shulchan, they placed it on a gold table instead of placing it on a marble table to help preserve it until they had a chance to distribute it to the Kohanim, is because we have a cloud that you go up with regard to something holy, but you do not go down. And since the Shulchan was made out of gold, and the Lechem HaPanim was on the Shulchan the whole week until they took it off the Shulchan on Shabbat, they would no longer be allowed to place the Lechem on a marble table, as you cannot go down from a gold table to a marble table. So since the Lechem HaPanim the whole week was on a gold table, they have no choice but to place it now also on a gold table. And the final Shulchan that was in the Beit HaMikdash was the Shulchan Azav that was inside the Hechel. That's where the Lechem HaPanim was placed, and it was constantly on that Shulchan Azav. As soon as the Lechem HaPanim was taken off the Shulchan Azav on Shabbat, it was immediately replaced with the new Lechem HaPanim.